talking about Ruth Finn and her resourcefulness, because today is the 25th anniversary of my mom's passing. So my sister Judy also had a recollection about how Mom planned ahead. Let's listen to that clip.
And I was just going to mention one other thing along that same line, and that had to do with wallpapering.
Yes.
It seemed to me that she would plan a wallpapering job. She would go choose the paper and buy it and then just put it in a closet for a snowstorm when we would be snowed in, when we didn't go to school for a few days. And then we would wallpaper a room. I remember doing the kitchen, and I remember one of the bedrooms that we did.
This would be fun. Her working with the older kids,
yeah,
like
it was
you.
Something to do when you were snowed in, and we learned to wallpaper.
Well, and I still remember when you guys wallpapered my room. I suppose I would have been 12 or something, old enough to kind of help, but it was really you and Mom doing the wallpapering. And Mom had hung, you guys had hung a piece or something, and you said something like, "Oh, Mom, this isn't quite right. It wasn't up to the standards you had used in the kitchen." And you wondered if she wanted to take it down and rehang it. And she said, "Oh, Judy, we're not trying to do an A1 job here."
Yeah, that's and, a quote we've used many times.
And after that, every time every piece went up that wasn't perfect, you and her would joke, "Well, we're not trying to do an A1 job." I was like, "Hey, wait a minute." But
yep.
We had fun with that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, those are my remembrances about organization. And bill paying the same. I remember that they never, she never could pay all the bills every month, so she had a pretty good system for budgeting, and she would pay part of everyone, and sometimes some bills didn't get paid in full for a couple of years, like to the doctor or the plumber or somebody like that. This is before credit cards, and so she would have envelopes and put her cash in there, and then, pay them all a little bit at a time and explain to us how it worked and why she was doing it that way and so on. But those are my thoughts on organizational skills.
Good. Well, the other things that I remember about Mom's resourcefulness, one time we went to the county fair, and this was a real eye-opener for me. I don't know how old I was. Maybe I was 10 or 12. And we'd never been to the county fair before, but we're walking around, and of course there's all kinds of things at these county fairs, including hucksters. You know, they've got the six-legged cow was there. Now that was real, actually. This cow just had this growth coming out of its back. It's not real legs. They are legs, but they're not on the ground. They're just two short stubs coming out of their back. But when I say huckster, I mean a barker who's there trying to take your money. So we walk up, and there's this guy holding forth and holding up a clock. And he said, "Who'll give me 5 cents for this clock? Just a nickel." And nobody would. And my mom's there and walks up to the front. And she says, "I'll give you a nickel for the clock. You know, how can you go wrong giving him a nickel?" So she gave him a nickel. And he hands him the clock. And she handed it to me. So I'm holding on to it. It's a nice kitchen clock that she probably would have paid $3 or $5 for it, maybe. Huh. Maybe $2. I don't know how much. But it was. She knew a deal when she saw one. And then he said, "Now who'll give me $20 for this watch?" And he describes how good this watch was. Well, for me, at my age, I'm thinking, well, they're both a good deal. How come you went for one and not the other? Because Mom said, no, she wouldn't do it. And the guy's particularly working my mom because she got the clock. Mm-hmm. And he's working the rest of the audience, too. And my mother was too smart to bite. And she wasn't going to give him $20 for what was probably a $3 watch, $5 watch, whatever. This is where the guy was going to make his money, he thought. And she wouldn't do it. And he says, "Okay, well, then give me the clock back." And I'm silly enough. I'm ready to hand it back to my mother. Says, "No, we paid for that. That's ours." And she had me hang on to it. And we walked away with a clock for 5 cents and didn't spend any other money. And I learned a very valuable lesson that day from my mom, because she was a sharp cookie. The other thing that she did that was amazing is that she had a real innovativeness. In the mid-50s, probably about 1955, I was only 5 years old, my mother made two interesting purchases. The first was to change the table in our kitchen. We had a big old farmhouse, and so it was a big kitchen where you could seat 10 people. Well, we had had a rectangular-shaped table, and you're always passing food up and down. You've got 8 kids, a lot of them little. You, the parents, are passing a lot of food. And so my mother got tired of that, and she saw in an ad for a circular table. So she bought a large circular table and had it delivered, and then she talked to the local carpenters and had them build the biggest Lazy Susan I suspect had ever been built up to that time. Because you didn't see them around. The Lazy Susans were out, but they were little 2-foot Lazy Susans. Today you go into some Chinese restaurants and you see these large Lazy Susans they put food on. But there was nothing like that back then. She had him build a 4-foot diameter Lazy Susan, and it worked like a charm. She set it in the middle of the table, and you put the food on it, and she never had to pass food again. Mm-hmm. And you had to have some rules. The Lazy Susan was always had to go clockwise the first time around, because you can't have people turning it partway and then partway back. You don't get to see all the food. But if you keep it going the same way till it gets around at least once, then everybody gets all the food. And you always have to put the mashed potatoes first and then the gravy next to it on the right, so that when it comes around clockwise, you got to get the potatoes first before you get the gravy.
Of course.
But once you figured all that out, it was a wonderful innovation. And people came to our house and remarked, all my friends and all their parents just thought it was the most ingenious thing. And it was my mom's idea. And she couldn't buy it. She had to ask the carpenter to build it. The other thing that she did in the mid-50s was they were getting ready to buy another car. Now, my mom and dad never bought new cars. Of course, Dad ran a gas station and a repair shop, so you didn't have to have new cars. You could repair them. And it didn't seem like a good use of money when you've got 8 kids. And so they were getting ready, though, to buy a station wagon. Something that they could sit the whole family in, essentially, because you got 8 kids, or if not the whole family, which is 10 people, most of the family in one car. And about the time Mom was getting ready to pick up some kind of station wagon, she saw an ad in the paper for a Cadillac limousine. And she went out, and she came home with a 1948 Cadillac limousine. It had running boards. It was black. It had a window between the driver, because it's like a chauffeur, leather seats in the front, and it had a window between the front and the back. It was a wall built up and then a window that closed it off completely, so you couldn't hear, didn't have to listen in the back. And that's one of the things she liked about it, because the kids could make as much noise as they wanted in the back, and she could roll the window up in the front. There was a radio in the front seat and the back seat. Wow. I mean, in the 1950s, that was unheard of. No one else had anything approaching. Well, even today, I guess you don't hear of it much. I suppose limos have it today. They have good stereo systems. But it had a middle seat, a couple of jump seats that folded down and folded away into the floor. But you pull them up, and you've got a middle seat. And if you put it down, you could set up a small card table, a very small card table in the open area. And so for trips, it was just great, and we'd put the seats up, and you could sit, probably 8 or 9. Maybe we squeezed all 10 people in, 3 in the front, 3 in each seat, and with the real little kids, 4. But instead of a station wagon, she went for this black 1948 Cadillac limousine. And a couple of my brothers and sisters, I believe, took their driver's test on this thing. And it was a boat. It was huge. We let it sit out back after it wouldn't run for a while. We let it sit out back a couple years, and it rusted away. But that was quite a car. And again, that was my mother's notion. She had this vision of how much fun that could be instead of a regular station wagon. I guess the next thing to talk about is Mom's frugality. Mom knew how to stretch a budget and knew how to make the money last, because she's raising 8 kids and trying to do things. And so, we didn't take vacations really when we were young. The first one I remember, we went to Niagara Falls, which is only, 90 miles away from Rochester, New York. And we got a hotel room in the Sheraton Brock Hotel on the Canadian side. And that was my first time in a hotel. First time we saw the kind of water pressure you get out of a fancy city living kind of a thing, because we were out in the country on a pump, not on city water pressure. Of course, this was near Niagara Falls, so you got great pressure. But all of it was new to us, and so we had a blast. But we didn't do a lot of that. That was one of the only family vacations I can remember taking, other than getting out to, you know, for a weekend out to the lake or something. Now, Mom rented a cottage every summer while I was growing up down at the lake. We only lived 2 miles from Lake Ontario, so rather than try and save money and go to vacation for a week, she rented this cottage for the whole summer. I say cottage. It was a two-story building with several bedrooms, and we'd go down there during the week, and we'd stay down there during the week, and Dad would come down for dinner down there. In the heat of the summer, we'd stay down there all week, and in the early summer and late summer, we would just be down there on weekends. But that was an innovative kind of thing that she did. But to keep track of the money, I picked up some habits that I'm just frugal to this day. You can still buy margarine or butter in sticks, right? By the pound and in sticks, and it comes in foil paper. Well, my mom, I watched her for years. When she would take the margarine out of the foil, she would take a flat knife and scrape the foil, because there's always some margarine left on the foil, enough to butter a piece of toast or something, and why would you waste that on every stick of butter? And so I learned to do that. You know, now most people wouldn't bother with something like that, but my mom grew up in the Depression and raised 8 kids, so she taught me a lot of things about saving money. We all had bank accounts when we were young, and if you earned money, you weren't allowed to spend it all. I still remember the day, I don't know how old I was, but I spent 25 cents on candy over town. Now, back then, it was penny candy, and if you spent a nickel, you got 5 pieces of penny candy, and that was a luxury. If Mom was buying it when you're real young, you only got one. Well, once I was working up at the gas station, I had some change. I'd go over and I'd buy 10 cents worth. Well, one day I spent a quarter. I bought 25 pieces of candy. Boy, did I catch it for that. You weren't supposed to be doing that stuff. You're supposed to save your money. And so if you earn some money, picking strawberries on the farm, or later when I started working full-time on the farm, you were expected to save it. In fact, I ended up saving money for my high school tuition. Not only did I pay for my own college, and most of my brothers and sisters did, I went to a private high school. I saved the money to pay for my own high school tuition. Now, Mom and Dad would have paid it, but since I was working during the summer, you were expected to save and pull your weight. So I learned to be responsible at a very young age. In a family of eight, that's the way it goes. We conserved water. Today you watch people and they may turn on the sink and they just let it run sometimes. I don't do that because I learned from my mom that water doesn't grow on trees, or however she put it. One of the best stories is when we used to get milk, we would go down to Grunman's, the next farm down from ours, and we didn't work the farm. My dad bought the house, and the farmer, that a good friend of theirs, Joe Meyer, bought the farmland around it, the 49 acres of farmland around it. And so I worked on a farm, but I wasn't the farmer's son. I wasn't a slave to the farm, and I didn't have to work every day on the farm if I didn't want to. But we'd go next door to the dairy farm. The Grunmans next door had cows, and they had milk. And so every night they're milking the cows, and once there's milk in the big stainless steel container, we could go down and get milk. Now, technically, you're not allowed to sell milk wholesale like that. You're also not allowed to sell unpasteurized milk, because that's what this is, fresh out of the cow. What happens is the milk truck, they cool it there, and the milk truck comes in the morning, and they empty with a big hose, they empty that whole container out and pick up all the Grunman's milk. And that's how it worked. But we'd go down at night when they were in the middle of milking and open the spigot and get 2 gallons of milk. And unpasteurized milk. And I'd ride my bicycle down once I was old enough, and you put it on the handlebar of the bike, or else you'd walk if you wanted to walk. It was a few hundred yards. And you pay him $1 for 2 gallons of milk, and then we come back, and Mom would take the 2 gallons of milk, and she had a 2-gallon pasteurizer, something that just heats milk to a temperature of, I don't know what it is, 180 degrees, whatever's required for, you know, 45 minutes or an hour, whatever it's required to get rid of all the bacteria. And then she'd pour it into 2-quart containers and put it in the second refrigerator, and we'd have 2 gallons of milk, and it would last almost 2 days. And so every other day you'd go down and get another thing of milk. So the question was who was going to go down, and it was, we took turns when you were older kids, and there were three or four boys, whose turn is it to go get the milk? But so we saved money that way. And when we come back, I have one more story about saving money, and I'll tell you the story of mom's desire to save money from the phone company, and the story of Johnny Black Suit.